And which one is first? In our class, we talked about that just briefly. So I've been mulling that around in my mind. But in verse 13 here, it says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And so after having thought about that, coming to realize that you can have faith, you can have hope, but if you don't have love, you don't have any. It says love is the greatest of these. And so in extreme case, some people say these are inseparable. You can't separate faith, hope, or love, but you actually can. Let's just think about the terrorists that flew into the World Trade Center. I would say they had faith, and I would say they had hope. They had faith and a hope in something false. But it takes a lot of faith to take a plane and fly into a tower knowing you're going to die, and for the hope of something, or whatever it was that they thought that they were going to achieve from that, it was a false hope. But they did have faith. It was, shall we say, a foolish faith. So you can separate faith, and you can separate hope and love. You can have one without the other. Although I will say that you can have true faith without true love. You have to have true love to have true faith. And I would also like to say, and you don't have to agree with me, but I would say that it's pretty hard to have faith if you don't have hope. You need to have hope of something better in order to have faith in it. So with those thoughts in mind, I would like to now read verses 8 to 12. As I said, we're doing this a little different. And so that we're going to read, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also am known." So I wondered when I first read this chapter why these verses were in here. But as I looked at these and I thought about love, charity and love being synonymous, as I thought about love, I came to recognize that the reason it talks about that love never faileth, but then it talks about verse 9, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part," and it talks about verse 10, "When that is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away." I had to think about us as a church. We're not a perfect church. We're not a perfect people. We only understand a bit, as it says in verse 11, "When I was a child, I understood as a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child." And we're in that same kind of maturity level here as a church today. We aren't perfect. We have strip away all your defenses, and you're not a perfect person. You have a lot of faults. So do I. We don't like to talk about our faults. We don't like to tell people that we have faults, but we do. And some of us have more faults than others. But we all have faults. And so we're not a perfect people, but when we achieve heaven, when we see God and we are up there in a perfect setting, these faults will go away and we'll be able to understand fully. This knowledge that we have of righteousness now will seem completely incomplete with fulfillment of what we'll have up there. So that brings me finally to verse 1. I'm going to start at verse 1 now. And now we're going to read verses 1 to 3. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I may could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So this is pretty strong language here. It talks about, verse 13 didn't hit me terrible hard. But it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and have not charity, I'm a sounding brass." And then it says, "If I have the gift of prophecy." You know, I've always admired men that seem to really understand the scripture. They could speak about it. They could tell you what Isaiah and Daniel and Jeremiah and all those scriptures meant. They could talk about revelations. But even those men, without love, it's not worth it. And I've always admired men that seem like they could pray about something and have faith it's going to happen. It talks about that, so that they could remove mountains. I loved reading stories about George Mueller and some of those guys that they had a lot of faith. But it says that they didn't have charity, they didn't have anything. And then it talks about in verse 3. Now this one really hit me a little harder. It says, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And you could even go let your body be burned. You could go and be a martyr. That's hard to believe, but that's what it says. It says you could go be a martyr, and if you don't have love, it will do you no good. So we could do all these good things, and if we don't have love, it will do us no good. Now I would like to read the rest of the chapter, verses 4 through 8, and I would like to read those in the American Standard Version. So I'm going to read that in America. You can follow along in your King James versions if you like. But listen to this. It says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with the truth. It beareth all things, and it believeth all things, it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away with. I think I read all that already. Love never faileth. And so as I read those four verses, 4 through 8, I had to think about where do I stand under the standard that this sets for love. And I would have to say that I have a lot of growth to achieve too. I'm sure that you do too. Each of you has a lot of growth. Each of you need to grow up and learn to love better. I need to learn to love better. I'm going to read them again. Think about these verses a little more carefully as you read them the second time. Love suffereth long. It means it's long-suffering. It actually will let someone be a little bit obnoxious to us. Love suffers long, and it's kind. Love doth not envy. Love doth not vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek for its own good. Love is not provoked. Love does not take account of evil. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices when there's truth or with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. And love endureth all things. Love never faileth. So anyhow, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And I have a lot of growing to do in love, and I hope that we can all learn from that. I just keep thinking about that. It takes perfect love that Christ gave us to give us the kind of faith and hope that we need, and that we can only try to achieve that perfect love as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer.